The word of God given to us today is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. Allow me to read the words. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Apostle Paul stopped by Ephesus on his way back from Corinth to Antioch after completing his second missionary journey. At that time, the couple Priscilla and Aquila also accompanied him. Paul debated with the Jews in the synagogue. The Jews seemed to enjoy discussions with Paul and asked him to stay a little longer. But Paul shook his head and said goodbye, saying, "If it is God's will, I will return. And then he boarded on a boat to Antioch, leaving Ephesus. Priscilla and Aquila were left in Ephesus. The couple also taught the Bible in more detail to Apollo, an evangelist from Alexandria who was in Ephesus. Apollos later served in the church at Corinth. If Apostle Paul was the first senior pastor who founded and served the Corinthian church, Apollos was the second senior pastor of the Corinthian church. Apostle Paul came back to Ephesus for his third missionary journey. This is Acts chapter 19, verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Paul's third missionary journey lasted about 4 years, of which he spent 3 years in Ephesus. Even now, the sea and rivers play a crucial role in the development of cities. It would be very difficult for countries like Afghanistan, Bhutan, and Nepal on the Asian continent that are not adjacent to the sea to grow economically through international trade. This was even more so in ancient times. Nowadays, bulk cargo is transported by plane, train, and truck, in addition to ships. But in ancient times, it was only possible to transport bulk cargo by sea and river. During Korea's Three Kingdoms period, Goguryeo, Baekje, and Silla competed with each other for hegemony on the Korean peninsula. The time when each country's national power was the greatest was when it occupied the Han River basin. The five major cities of the Roman Empire were Rome, Alexandria, Antioch, Ephesus, and Corinth. Among them, Ephesus was a port city with a developed commerce because it was not only located on the coast of the Aegean Sea between Greece and Turkey, but also at the mouth of the Caistor River. In addition, there were three major roads extending from it. Goods from the East, South, and Asia Minor that came through that road were traded in Ephesus. Ephesus was the largest city in Asia Minor, and at the time was a place where everything was available. That is why Ephesus was called the marketplace of vanity in the ancient world. And because Ephesus was an autonomous city recognized for its loyalty and service to the Roman Empire, the Roman army was never stationed there, and it was governed by officials from Ephesus. And Ephesus was an assize town. The local governors of Rome flocked to Ephesus for an important trial, and the sight of the trial was a great spectacle for the people. However, the greatest spectacle in Ephesus was the Temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the ancient times. The temple was about 130 meters long, 67 meters wide, 18 meters high, and had 127 pillars, all of which were donated by kings. The temple had a statue of the goddess Artemis, a symbol of abundance and fertility, with 24 breasts. At that time, there were thousands of priestesses in the temple who not only worked in the temple but also as prostitutes. There were also many slaves who did the temple's chores, and they considered it their greatest pride to be called temple slaves. The Temple of Artemis had two notable features. The first feature was that it was a refuge for prisoners. As long as a person who committed a crime entered the temple before being arrested, he or she was absolved of all sins. But as time passed, more and more prisoners came into the temple. Later, when prisoners could no longer fit in the temple, the exemption space was extended outside the temple. If a person was in the premises of an arrow shoot, they were exempt. So the area around the Temple of Artemis was like a haven for criminals. The second feature was that there was a store in the temple that sold a talisman with the Ephesian letter written on it. There was an Olympic wrestler who was so invincible that he never lost to anyone. He had a talisman with an Ephesian letter wrapped around his ankle. But when he took it off later, he became just like an ordinary person. Based on the story, the Ephesian talisman was believed to have very powerful magical powers in people. So people who had a wish to fulfill, such as people about to go on a long trip, people who wanted to succeed in business, infertile couples, and people with incurable diseases came to Ephesus and purchased this talisman. Apostle Paul ministered in the city of Ephesus for 3 years. Ephesus was where Paul worked for the longest period of time after being called as an apostle of Jesus Christ. In Ephesus, a land that appears to have everything but a city of vanity, a city rife of idolatry and worldly values, Paul truly and faithfully preached the kingdom of God and lived as a channel of the Lord. Last month, Oxford Economics, a British forecasting agency, announced the world's top 1,000 cities, with New York coming in first place, London in second, and San Jose in third. The first place in Asia is Tokyo, fourth in the world, and the second place is Seoul, 41st in the world. Seoul, where our church is located, is like the Ephesus of Asia in the 21st century. Seoul is a top city in Asia along with Tokyo, Beijing, and Singapore. Seoul is a city that has everything of other parts of the world. However, Seoul feels like a huge vanity market. People are busy showing off, exaggerating, and packaging themselves, considering only what they can see to be of absolute value. The belief that you only need to look good on the outside is prevalent, even though people on the inside are ill. So we rush to grab something that looks better, something that looks higher up, and something that looks bigger. Apostle Paul embarked on his third missionary journey and met some students, some disciples in Ephesus, and talked with them. But something felt strange. So he asked, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" "Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? We have never even heard that the Holy Spirit exists," they answered. Paul asked again, "Then what were you baptized with?" "Baptized by John," they answered. Paul said, "John gave the people a baptism of repentance, telling them to believe in the one who would come after him, in Jesus." Afterward, Paul baptized them, and the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. After that, Paul went to the synagogue for 3 months, preaching about the kingdom of God and preaching the gospel boldly. However, some people were hard-hearted and did not want to believe and criticized Paul's message in front of the congregation. Paul separated his disciples and came out of the synagogue. After that, Paul no longer taught or preached in synagogues. Paul lectured at the hall of Tyrannus for 2 years. It is not known what kind of place the hall of Tyrannus is. It is likely that Tyrannus was the name of a philosopher or educator who was teaching there at the time. Or it could have been a nickname given by students to their terrifying teacher. This is because Tyrannus is Tyrannos in Greek, which means tyrant or despot. This is where the English word tyranny comes from. When I was in high school, corporal punishment was common in schools. The nickname of the math teacher at the time was Viper. I remember what the teacher looked like, but not his name. If someone got hit by the teacher, they would be thrown to one side from the force, so the class was dead quiet. When friends talked about the class at the time, they did not call it mathematics class, but Viper class. It is believed that Luke did not add any explanation because the school of Tyrannus was well known at the time. Paul had previously taught in the synagogue only on the Sabbath, but here he could teach every day. The Greek word translated into hall or school is skole. This is where the English word school comes from. However, originally skole was a word for a multi-purpose space where meetings, discussions, debates, lectures, etc. were held, and where people could also enjoy leisure. According to the Codex Bazei, Paul taught in the school of Tyrannus from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. It is said that in Ephesus at the time, due to the hot weather, shops were closed from 11 a.m. to late afternoon, and schools were also closed, especially after lunch. It was time to siesta or nap. It is said that people in this region sleep more deeply at 1 o'clock in the afternoon than at 1 o'clock in the morning, that is, 1 o'clock at night. The only time one could consistently rent a specific place at a specific time was when people were napping. The Apostle Paul and the Christians of Ephesus held services and studied the Word of God every day in the empty school of Tyrannus while most people were deep asleep during the day. Those 2 years can be said to be the peak of Paul's ministry. At that time, the seven churches in Asia Minor in Revelation chapters 2 to 3, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea were established, as well as the churches of Colossae and Hierapolis. Also at that time, Paul visited Corinth and wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians. This is the result of 2 years of his ministry. This is Acts chapter 19, verse 10. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia had heard the word of the Lord. As a result of Apostle Paul's ministry, many people in the current Turkey area heard the word of God and the gospel of the kingdom of God. And on his way back to Jerusalem after completing his third missionary journey, Paul sent someone from Miletus to call the elders of the Ephesian church and deliver his feelings. This is Acts chapter 20, verses 18 through 19. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by my Jewish opponents." In the Korean Bible, serving the Lord appears last, but in the Greek Bible, it appears in the first part. In other words, although Paul served the people of the Ephesian church, he did not serve people but the Lord. Although we serve one another as a community, it must ultimately serve the Lord. In other words, our gaze must be directed to the Lord, not to people, in order to have a proper relationship with God and with people. Paul talks about how he served the Lord in three ways. First is that he served with humility. Here, humility means putting one's heart down to the bottom and enduring something humiliating. In the epistle to the Philippians, Paul confessed, "I know how to be humbled, and I know how to abound." And the words humility and to be humbled are the same word. Second, it is said that Paul served the Lord with tears. This means that not everything went as planned. No matter how much you think about something or a problem, no matter how hard you look at it, there doesn't seem to be a solution and something else keeps coming up. At that time, the only way is to kneel before the Lord and weep. But shedding tears also means that you haven't given up. If a student cries because he or she couldn't get more questions correct even after getting 45 out of 50 questions in a test correct, there's a possibility that he or she can make further progress when it comes to studying. On the other hand, if a student comes out smiling even after getting 15 to 20 out of 50 questions correct and doesn't feel like he or she needs to get more questions right the next time, he or she would be happier doing something other than studying. On the surface, it seemed like nothing was going to work for Paul, so he had no choice but to shed tears. But he did not give up and walked the path of his calling. So many people in Asia were able to hear the word of the Lord. Thirdly, it is said that he endured the test caused by the trickery of the Jews. From the fact that the term scheme or plot was used, we can see that the Jews carefully plotted to harm Paul. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, "I want you to know about the tribulation we had in Asia. We were so overwhelmed by our forces that we finally came to the point where we lost even the hope of living. We thought we had been sentenced to death." This was Paul's ministry in Ephesus. And Paul said to the elders, this is Acts chapter 20, verses 31 through 32, "So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I have never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." For 3 years in Ephesus, Paul not only preached the word of the Lord to the Ephesians, but also prayed day and night with tears for those who accepted the word and encouraged them with the word. Paul urged the elders of Ephesus to wake up and live like he did for the people of the Ephesian church. And when Paul left Ephesus, he did not entrust the elders of Ephesus to high-ranking rulers of Ephesus or to the rich people who had commercial power in Ephesus and could control the economy of Ephesus. Paul entrusted them to the Lord and His word of grace. In other words, Paul urged the elders of Ephesus to entrust their lives and faith entirely to the Lord and His word. This is because people who completely entrust themselves to the word of the Lord are established by the word and can encourage others through the word and live as disciples of the Lord and people of the kingdom of God. Ephesians is called the prison epistle along with Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Paul was imprisoned 3 times. First, he spent 2 years imprisoned in Caesarea. This was because after completing his third missionary journey, Paul went up to Jerusalem, where the Jews accused him of breaking the law and desecrating the temple. At that time, there were about 40 people who swore that they would not eat or drink until they killed Paul. Second, Paul was imprisoned in Rome from the years 61 through 63 for 2 to 3 years. He could have been released from Caesarea, but appealed to be tried by the Roman Empire and thus was taken to Rome. While Paul was being taken to Rome, he encountered a massive storm in the Mediterranean Sea. Third was after he was released from prison in Rome and spent 3 to 4 years outside before being imprisoned again. And Paul became a martyr during his third imprisonment. When Paul wrote Ephesians, he was imprisoned for the second time in Rome around 61 AD. The reason Paul sent this letter to the church in Ephesus was not because there was any special problem in the church. Even when reading Ephesians, there is nothing like the problem of extreme legalism in the Galatian church, the problem of sectarianism in the Corinthian church, the problem of fornication, the problem of sacrifice to idols, or the problem of boasting about gifts one has received. However, the churches of the time had a common problem of maintaining order internally between Gentiles and Jewish believers. And externally, there was a threat from Gnosticism, which claims that the spirit is good and the flesh is evil, and it is believed that they were sent to deal with these problems. Although Ephesians is only 6 chapters long, it is called the Queen of Epistles. This means that the content is rich. A scholar named Scott said, "If Handel knelt down to compose the Messiah, Paul knelt down to write this majestic epistle." It is also said that Ephesians is an epistle about the church. It is not about how to build the world's greatest chapel in Ephesus, much larger than the Temple of Artemis. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us. Ephesians testifies to how we, who were Gentiles, became the people of God's kingdom and were able to become heirs of God's inheritance, and how we should live after our status change. In other words, God's word about our salvation is Ephesians. Romans also talks about our salvation, but the focus is a bit different. The book of Romans emphasizes who we were originally. It emphasizes among all humans, not a single one is righteous, and all humans are sinners worthy of death, and that God sent Jesus Christ to die for us, proving God's love for us. That is why it is said that nothing can break the love of God who sent His only begotten Son. On the other hand, Ephesians emphasizes what God has done for our salvation. It is said that God chose us in Christ and made us His children before He even created this world in order to give us spiritual blessings in heaven. How can we describe in writing the greatness of God? It is said that religious reformer Martin Luther liked Romans and John Calvin liked Ephesians. Apostle Paul while imprisoned is telling us about God's salvation and the abundance of His grace. The book of Ephesians opens like this. This is verse 1 of today's passage. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote and sent this letter to the saints in Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the largest cities in the Roman Empire and was a very developed economy, as it was located at the mouth of the Kaistaros River. And it was a place where the temple of Artemis stood majestically and all kinds of idolatry and worldly values were rampant. The church of Ephesus stood there. Seoul is one of the largest cities in Asia and has a very developed economy, and it is also a place where all kinds of worldly values exist. On the banks of the Han River is Yangwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and our 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. The following is included in the video our church made to introduce Yanghwajin to new members. Yanghwajin was a key point for transportation and national defense during the Joseon Dynasty, which used the Han River as its base. Large-scale ships could dock in the deep river waters of Yanghwajin, so products from all over the country were distributed to the capital and palaces through Yanghwajin. Hanyang is called the head of Joseon Dynasty, and the neck is the connecting point of all human parts to the head. The passage in the neck is the throat. The three regions of the south, Chungcheong, Jeolla, and Gyeongsang, was where Joseon Dynasty's material goods were most produced. And Yanghwajin was a place where various produced goods and people had to pass through to enter Hanyang. In that sense, Yanghwajin is like the heart of Joseon Dynasty. If Yanghwajin was the heart of Joseon Dynasty's national defense and economy in the past, I hope that Yanghwajin will now become the backbone of the kingdom of God and the gospel. To make that happen, God established our 100th Anniversary Memorial Church here 19 years ago. Now, the whole world is Ephesus or longs to be Ephesus. We are working hard to create a greater vanity market. Vanity may seem brilliant, but it has no substance. So the more you pursue it, the thirstier and more vain you become. The Christians of Ephesus confirmed how they had become the people of God's kingdom in Ephesus, the market of vanity, and sought to live as citizens of that kingdom. It is now our turn. Let us, the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, and each of us as a church, become an example of what a true church is in Seoul and in the metropolitan area, where what we see with our eyes is regarded the best, and in Korea, where secular values prevail. Let us also be the Lord's guideposts that show how we as Christians and individual churches should live, to seek the help of our Lord in living faithfully such lives. Let us open our windows wide to the Lord At that time, we will become the holy people of the 21st century, people who are truly distinguished in our lives and channels of the Lord, who are used by the Lord, and who renew the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, starting this week, we will not only go on a journey of faith into the words of Ephesians, but also check on how we should be and how we should live through the words of Ephesians and act upon it. Through these words, please help us realize what kind of work God has done for us and help us know and act on how to mature. Even when living in Ephesus, which is like an ancient marketplace of vanity, it says that Christians must be true Christians. As each day passes, however, we seek to become people of the market who live in a greater market of vanity. Help us as Christians accept that what we see is not everything, and to always cultivate and strengthen our inner selves. Wherever we may be, let us live as God's holy people, distinguished people, so that the places we are at become your kingdom, and let us completely obey to your word, so that we cultivate the places of our lives to places of life and not markets of vanity. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.